Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, even though the summer is effectively over at the end of this month, there'll still be a large number of people jetting out from airports on their holidays this month, and a large proportion of them, to a greater or lesser degree, will be nervous about it. So is it possible to cure a fear of flying, or at least make it manageable? Dr. J.F. Leader is a psychologist who runs a fear of flying course and joins us now. Afternoon, J.F.
Hello there, how are you?
A fear of flying, is it an irrational fear in the same way that you can be scared of spiders?
Yeah, well, I suppose interesting is the definition of that word irrational, because the problem is we often don't know if something's risky. And from an evolutionary perspective, we tend to be prone to what they call false positives, which is if you hear the rustle in the bush, you tend to assume it probably is a wild creature out to get you rather than just the wind. Because, of course, if you assume it's just the wind, and even one time if it isn't, you can be in trouble. So the problem with flying, I suppose, is there's a number of different fears people have: claustrophobia and heights and control and turbulence and even fear of fear itself. So very often our system just doesn't know if the thing is dangerous. So just to play it safe, it gives us a fear response.
Right. OK. And I assume there are degrees of fear of flying, from, you know, I can get on the plane and feel a bit jittery to I'm not getting on a plane at all.
There definitely are, and it varies massively. Some people are just kind of mildly uncomfortable. And of course, part of it is just specific triggers. Some people will be fine flying, but the turbulence itself will be the trigger, but the flying itself wouldn't be. So there's variations like that. But also there can be these kind of cascading effects where the fear response even itself is something, but then the fear of the fear comes in and then it kind of escalates a little bit. So that's like, flying is more of a category, I suppose, when you think of it as a phobia rather than necessarily one thing. It can vary.
Right. OK. And so how much of that can be combated by knowledge?
Yeah, it's a combination of knowledge, definitely, but also experience and practice, I suppose. And that's part of the problem, I suppose, with flying. Because, you know, if you had another phobia like fear of dogs or something, you could kind of go to the park and you could get a little bit closer to them each time and you'd have still an element of control there. But I think what bothers a lot of people about flying is it's kind of binary. You're kind of on the plane or not on the plane. Mm-hmm. So a combination of knowledge definitely helps, but also a certain amount of practice. So that's why certain courses like the Fear of Flying Ireland course or others would use the flight simulator approach of kind of building the muscle memory almost of being there, as well as the knowledge both psychologically about the mind and body, but also practically about aircraft and aviation as well. It's kind of a combination, I think.
So in the flight simulator, or is it here's what the experience of sitting as a passenger is? Are you bringing him up to the cockpit and saying, look, the pilot is completely sober, everything's fine?
It's a little bit of both, actually, because you're right. I think a lot of that can be an issue for some people, that they are in a real flight sitting on the back of the plane wondering what's going on up the front. And then their mind is, you know, thinking, well, what about this? What about that? So demystifying it, I think you're right, is part of it. So being able to get up, potentially fly the plane, even if you want to, obviously safely in a simulator. Just to get all of that out of your system and say, how does that work? What happens if this happens? And to ask the questions and to try it. So both have a role, I think.
Yeah. And the people who come in your court, have they never flown before? Or would it be they've experienced turbulence and they're terrified to get back on again?
Yeah, and it's quite interesting because there really is a mix. And for some people, yeah, they literally haven't flown before. But a lot of people have flown, but they've maybe had a bad experience, maybe about a turbulence or something like that. And then they've avoided it. And then there are other people who are still flying, but rather uncomfortably. And some of them are just bearing it out, and others maybe are taking medication or they'll be drinking or something like that. And they've maybe reached a point where they're thinking, you know, this isn't sustainable. And of course, for some people, it's really quite a big effect. There might be loved ones living abroad they haven't seen in a while. So that creates an additional pressure sometimes, which is kind of unfortunate, but I suppose it does prompt us to take action then. But obviously being hard on ourselves alone isn't enough to change these kinds of habits. It is more about the practice and the understanding.
Yeah, but I imagine, though, if somebody has been in a flight and there was bad turbulence and they got an awful fright from that, you can't say to them there's never going to be turbulence again. I suppose it's preparing them to know how to deal with it if it happens again.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's sort of knowing what it is to begin with, so we're not layering into it more than needs to be there. You know, because of course something can be unpleasant. The stimuli like turbulence can be unpleasant, but of course if you know what it is, well then we can kind of down-regulate a bit in our minds. And it's also almost the internal turbulence as well, because I think a lot of the time, if we get a fear response, we sort of don't know what to do with it. So knowing how to understand that and manage it, as well as understanding the turbulence, both of that helps de-escalate to some degree, so it can, you know, feel a bit more comfortable.
Mm. So what do they do with it when they're, you know, the plane's taken off, there's a bit of a shake? Is it breathing exercises? You know, what kind of things do you recommend people do?
Yeah, well, the first bit is, as you say, the understanding bit, because when we're normalizing turbulence a bit, and, you know, like if you're on a boat in the sea, you'd, you know, kind of expect that certain amount of movement, and you kind of know that that's safe, and you experience it in the simulator and you practice it. That itself is stopping the mind from giving as much of an adrenaline or cortisol response to begin with. So there's a certain amount of prevention there in understanding that and going through that, obviously, in quite some depth and asking all those questions. When there then is any stress in the system, the big thing we're trying to avoid is really fear of the fear. So a lot of the time people are getting a fear response, not really knowing what to do with it, and then they're focusing on it more. So one of the big things we're practicing is normalizing the fear response, because a lot of the people feel that the fear itself is dangerous. Mm. So actually, to understand that the fear is only a safety mechanism. It's something that for thousands of years have kept your ancestors safe, and that's why you're alive today. So kind of befriending it in that way is a big part of it. And then things like managing breathing or focusing attention appropriately certainly have a role. I think it's a combination of some of those ingredients.
Right, okay. Do you recommend or not that you look out the window? If they're beside
It depends. It's an interesting one, because there's real individual difference there. For some people, yeah, that can be rather useful. Other people rather just engage their attention elsewhere. So normally what we'll do is practice a range of approaches, but encourage a little bit of a personal choice, I suppose, based on what works.
Yeah. Do people ever throw up? In all the years I've been flying, I don't think I've ever seen anyone throw up in a plane before, but the sick bags are there. Is that from nervousness?
Yeah, well, when the certain nausea for certain people, the vestibular system can be affected sometimes when we're moving and we're, you know, not quite feeling in control. So when there's nausea, happens in simulators actually as well, they call it simulator sickness. So that's sometimes what causes the vomiting response. It's not that common, but it can happen. And the reason the body's doing that is if you're feeling off, your system thinks, okay, maybe I've ingested poisons. So it's an old-fashioned mechanism. So it tries to purge the system in case there's poisons there. But again, that's obviously not the case while flying. So again, understanding and normalizing that can help down-regulate the system so it doesn't need to get as activated. And even, you don't need to feel brilliant. You can feel even a bit better, and that can make quite a bit of a difference. So it's, a lot of it is relationship building, I think, with both the mind and the body, but also aviation itself and, you know, that level of understanding.
And how long does each course last for?
Yeah, so the Fear Flying Ireland courses use a day course format. So there's that combination of hearing from the pilot, understanding some of the processes, and then asking all those questions. That's the big bit of it, all those burning questions people have. And there's no question that's not permissible. And you get some really interesting ones. And then the psychology part then follows, which is, okay, that's the airplane, but what about the mind and the body? What's it actually doing here and trying to accomplish? And how can you do a better job of it and support yourself? And then the simulator bit, of course. So that's putting it all into practice. So the whole idea is that you have a feeling of already having done a flight in a way. So there's a muscle memory there around it. And I think a lot of the time, the sense of community can be a part of it as well. Actually, other people who have had similar experiences normalizing this.
Okay. Also, you won't die alone. I'm sure that's a comfort.
We're all in it together.
The next course takes place on August the 18th. You can get the details on fearofflying.ie. JF Leader, thank you very much.
Great to chat, John.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.